Okay. So, folks, let's take our seats. We're going to resume our board meeting.
I'm just doing the, no, not till 1:30. I was going to, are you going to talk?
Okay, so we're going to do, folks, we're going to start with agenda item 9, since I've been told that's going to take not that long. And then we will do public comment, which we noticed for 1:30, and then we'll go back into the, Pinto Lake item, and finish that up.
Right.
Okay. Mr. Harris, okay, agenda item 9.
So item 9 is an information item to update the board on the status and implementation of the ag order, specifically efforts related to cooperative monitoring. You'll recall we weren't going to do a lot in terms of the ag update. At this meeting, we were pretty clear about that last time because we have been working with the ag industry on trying to put to work with them to put together approvable plans. But before I get to that, I just want to let you know that the governor's budget contained 5 new ag positions. And I was told out of the 5, we're going to get 1. So we are getting 1 new ag position. And, in fact, we can start the paperwork to hire a new person, which is good. 3 are going to the Central Valley. There's 1 still in question. And when I was in Sacramento, I lobbied for that additional position and was told that we would be given due consideration. So keep your fingers crossed, and maybe we will get a second one.
Good.
Back to the cooperatives, as we discussed at the May meeting, the Water Board received proposed work plans from 4 cooperative groundwater monitoring programs. In June, I approved the work plan for the Santa Rosa Creek Valley watershed, which is north of Cambria. That's a very small program. And I granted conditional approval for the work plan submitted for the Central Coast groundwater program. And the name has changed, and now it escapes me exactly what the name was. It was called the Northern Central Coast Groundwater Cooperative, and now it's called the Central Coast Groundwater Program. Is that right, Abby? Program. Okay. So it's got a new name. And that would cover farming operations in Monterey, Santa Cruz, Santa Clara, and San Benito counties. Work plans for Moro Valley and the southern part of the region were not approved. That includes the Santa Maria area. Over the last few weeks, we have been working with the Grower Shipper Association to address the conditions required for final approval of the northern program. A key area of discussion has been the public disclosure and display of groundwater information to the public. And at this time, I've requested that the northern program resubmit their work plan with changes to meet our specific conditions requiring approval. I can tell you that we have been working over the last couple of weeks very hard trying to address a number of issues. I think we are there, and I'm just awaiting a final formal transmittal, and I can tell you I'm ready to approve their program. I'd also want to mention and say thank you to Angela and the staff who have put a tremendous amount of effort into getting us where we are today. Starting in January, we had a very short time frame, and they have done a yeoman's job, putting in many long hours and working very hard with the cooperatives. I also want to compliment Abby and the groups and the consultants that she has been working with. They've shown they've been very flexible. When we had issues and sat down and talked with them about them, they were willing to change their position, if we had good reasons. So I want to say thank you to Abby and to their group. They also were very productive and very, very willing to work with us. So I'm very happy with the outcome. We'll see how things work out, but at this point I'm very optimistic. I think we have a very good working relationship. They've hired some good consultants. The program initially is going to be run by Perry Clausen, who runs the San Joaquin Valley Coalition. If you haven't heard of Perry, he's very well respected in the Central Valley. The state board, I know, and the regional board out there have great respect for him. He's a good person to work with. So having him on board gives me a lot of confidence that that we're going to move forward and we're going to be successful. And also the consultants, that they've hired. In our conversations, they've been very, very productive, and I think they're going to do a good job. That's it.
Good. Hear, hear. Okay. Abby, I have two speaker cards, Abby and Steve Shimmick.
Hello, Chairman Young and fellow board members. I just really want to echo what Ken said, and I, again, we also really appreciate staff and Ken and Angela, especially taking a lot of time and talking with us at odd hours and just working through any of the issues that we had or and things we needed to really brainstorm what the solutions might be. Staff put forth a lot of really strong effort, and we really appreciated both their flexibility and their how available to us they were to talk about this at any time. So we look forward to approval of the program. As Ken said, we have asked Perry Clausen to stay on as the executive director of the program, to which he's agreed, and we're ready to get going as soon as that line is signed. So thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Shimmick, how do I reset the clock on this? I notice if I hit pause, it obviously just pauses it.
Yeah, just
it deleted it.
It has a reset. I'm not sure if yours does.
Not on mine.
He reset it.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Shimmick.
Good afternoon. My name is Steve Shimmick, Executive Director of the Otter Project in Monterey Coastkeeper. So I do have a little difference of opinion. But I do want to qualify my statement with the fact that I have not seen the outcome of this final set of back and forth between staff and I'm going to refer to it as the grower-shipper proposal, because that's just, it's been forwarded by Abby all the time, and so that's the face I put on it, and it's shorter than what they said. But I continue to be very concerned about the cooperative groundwater monitoring proposal submitted by Salinas Valley Grower Shipper Association. Let me be clear, it's not just me. On June 28th, a letter was sent to the interim executive officer under the signatures of the Environmental Justice Coalition for Water, San Gerardo Cooperative, Clean Water Action, the Otter Project, California Legal Assistance, and Santa Barbara Channel Keeper. We all have serious concerns. I understand that there is considerable pressure to approve the grower-shipper plan. I'm sorry to have heard that. So the question is, should staff approve an incredibly deficient plan? The ag order passed by this board on March 15, 2012 states the following. At a minimum, the cooperative groundwater monitoring effort must include sufficient monitoring to adequately characterize the groundwater aquifers in the local area of the participating dischargers, comma, characterize the groundwater quality of the uppermost aquifer, comma, and identify and evaluate groundwater used for domestic drinking water purposes. So there are three specific and independent goals that are the minimum. The ag order also says, in lieu of conducting individual groundwater monitoring, discharges may participate in a cooperative groundwater monitoring effort to minimize costs and to develop an effective groundwater monitoring program. So the cooperative program has three specific independent goals, and there is nothing in the order that says that the cooperative groundwater program can do less than the individual program. There's nothing there that says that they can do less. In fact, there's some language that says that they must do essentially the same thing. Among the numerous flaws we see the proposed program having, one of the egregious flaws is that they avoid talking at all about these three goals. And in fact, what they say, and this is quoting from their letter, is the groundwater program, cooperative program work plan outlines two activities, determining the concentration of nitrate in drinking water wells and characterizing the shallow water aquifers across the northern region. In implementation, and end quote, in implementation, the cooperative plan then blends those two activities and turns them into a single activity and a single output.
Can you wrap it up, Mr. Yep. Schimmick?
The ag order is very clear. There are three goals. Each individual goal must be met individually, and they cannot do less. If the interim officer approves this plan, we are headed, I fear, for yet another train wreck. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, this concludes agenda item 9.
Just a question on process.
Yes.
I think I remember it's the EO's role to approve these plans. So given what we just heard, if there's any discomfort on board members' perspectives, what role does board have from this point forward?
Under the ag order, it's the EEO's approval, and so the way the ag order is written, the board doesn't get involved in this. They could get involved if they did not like the EEO's decision in terms of the EEO is employed at your discretion. That's really his job performance is where kind of if you didn't like it, where that would be your avenue.
And then the word train wreck was mentioned. What's the worst case this board could face if the public or a piece of the public don't like it and want to challenge it?
Well, it can be, it is an action by the board because you've delegated that authority to the EO, and so therefore it could be petitioned to the state board just like the ag waiver has been.
So any formal objection would go above us to the state board?
Correct.
Thank you.
I mean, if you want, Bruce, we could have an informational item come back to us after Ken has done what he's going to do, and if we get comments from the public.
Right, so it would be...
So we could at least be apprised of what the issues are, if there are any.
Would it procedurally be inappropriate for board members to see a draft? I mean, I guess that's out. That's a public document.
The draft is not a public document. Not at this time.
It sounds as if Mr. Schimmick had seen it.
No, I think what he saw was the June letters, the original conditional approval that I signed on June 20th. So on June 20th, I disapproved two programs, and I approved two programs. And so what he saw were those, he saw those letters, and I think, Angela, if you can correct me, the original proposals, we made those public or...
And the response.
You will see, once I sign this and send it to all the parties who are involved, we'll make that public, and also I will be sure to send you all copies of the documents.
Right. Well, then that makes me feel better. Ken, it sounds like Mr. Schimmick has not been privy to the final document that you earlier mentioned you were effectively ready to sign once
correct.
You got. So, in your opinion, do you think that that final document?
I think if you sit down and you look at, you have to look at their document. You have to look at the approval document, which has 20 what conditions? I can't recall how many. And you have to look at what we are requiring of them. I feel very comfortable given the requirements that we have placed on them, and what they were willing to accept, including. Their willingness to do additional monitoring if we, the regional board, decide that the monitoring that was done is not sufficient to adequately characterize threats to drinking water. They have stated in their document, and it is a condition in my approval, that we can ask them to go back and do additional work. And they have agreed on other areas, such as looking at the temporal variations of water quality after we get this initial work in. We can sit down and talk about that. One thing I want to stress is this first program is not a home run. We're going to be in this for the long term. This is building the foundation for everything we do in the future. It's going to provide characterization of the aquifer systems that we don't currently have. It's going to start building institutional capacity on part of the ag industry. It has, I think, gone a long way to establish working relationships with these entities so that we can sit down in the future and work on other issues, especially you have the next waiver or WDR that's coming up. So I would ask that you not prematurely prejudge what this is or is not going to produce. Also, this approval is an approval of a work plan. There are additional approvals that must be given throughout the life of this work plan in terms of the wells they are going to monitor, the products they are going to produce. Their analysis has to be approved by me. So this is not a blanket approval. It is an approval of a work plan.
So at least at this juncture, it sounds like you would suggest that it can be defended as adequately meeting the minimum requirements required by the ag order?
I think so, yes. And I think it gives us products that the ag order would not, in those areas where individual monitoring is going to occur, this is going to give us products that we will not directly get from individual monitoring. So in those areas where we're getting individual monitoring, we're getting a data point. We're not getting aquifer-wide analysis and, regional analysis that is going to provide useful information for the future and give us direction on where we should put our resources. You know, what I expect we're going to find is we're going to find areas that are not problem areas, and we're going to find areas that we have big concerns about. That's where we're going to put our resources, and I think we're going to get that kind of analysis out of this work.
Sounds consistent with where we wanted to go.
Mr. Johnston.
A couple of brief comments. We can't stop anyone from suing us or from petitioning decisions that we make or that the executive officer makes by virtue of our delegation of authority. And while I appreciate Mr. Shimmick's concerns and his continued input, I am confident within the limits of what I just said that the executive officer has examined the language of the order and is not going to sign something that he doesn't think meets those limits. And finally, I just want to say, I proposed a chunk of the language that allows for cooperative groundwater monitoring when we were working through this order, and I felt from the very start that if we can have to the extent that we can have effective cooperative monitoring of groundwater, that we can get richer results, number one. And number two, to the extent that we can get agriculturalists who are not by nature necessarily inclined to work together to deal with us, that benefits them and us. And so I'm pleased that to hear that the process has gone along well enough, and there's been enough movement made that we're prepared to sign off on a cooperative groundwater monitoring program.
And on the two that I did not approve, I had no qualms about, no hesitation about not approving them. It was clear they were deficient. They did not meet the minimum standards, so there was I had no problem disapproving those.
Okay. Much. This concludes item 9, and let's move.